From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And speaking of being glad, we are thrilled to welcome in our good friend, Walt Gray, the Walt Gray. Walt, good day to you.
What's left of Walt Gray is now joining you.
One of those busy days, huh, Walt?
Yeah, it's, you know how it is when you have, and you know this too, you know, when you have a young family.
Yes.
My son Joseph is playing varsity tennis, and they have a match like every day this week. And then, so we're running around, but I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it for anything.
Well,
so here we are.
You told me your son was a tennis star. You didn't say star, but I did because I checked it out, and he's at McClatchy.
Oh,
a great high school.
Yep.
Right here in one of the historic high schools here in Sacramento. So.
Yes, it is. We're fortunate. It's a great neighborhood, a great area. We've got great churches here and a good congregation. And hey, by the way, I like the open to your show. I mean, this is like, did you take that off Letterman? That was pro, man. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, very good. Well,
and now we welcome Bob Dunning.
Maybe we'll get Gabe to play it again.
Yeah, you should. You should play that over and over again instead of interviewing me. I think it would be infinitely more interesting.
Yeah. You've also got when she was in high school, one of the top water polo players in the country.
Well, my daughter. Yeah, she played at McClatchy. She finished she finished as their all time leading scorer, and I think she was fourth in the nation in scoring her senior year. She's now down at San Diego State, but we really enjoyed that too. So she's a freshman down there. My daughter Abby, who's my oldest, graduated from the great Marquette University in Milwaukee.
Oh my goodness!
And so. Yep, very good Jesuit school. She graduated in 2.5 years, so she's back in town and she's working. Yeah, works for a group called Opening Doors.
Oh, good.
Which helps resettle Afghan refugees and other foreign entities. Gets them settled in the country, gets them jobs, gets them, you know, helps them get settled in with housing. So she's sort of doing the Lord's work too.
Oh, that is a great organization. You're very proud to have your daughter working
yeah.
there. That is wonderful.
She enjoys it. Yeah. She enjoys it very much.
I live in Davis. A lot of kids from Davis High ended up going to San Diego State. And I can't tell you how many people sent me texts saying, I just saw Walt Gray on move-in day.
So. That's pretty funny. It's a huge campus, Bob, as you know. It's like 32,000, 35,000 kids. And I'm like, it's just amazing, the layout. It's beautiful. I mean, my daughter goes surfing on the weekends. A school like that, that's a little big for me.
Yeah.
I sort of like something around, you know, for me, it worked at around 7,000, 10,000, a little bit more intimate. But, you know, my daughter likes the bigger school. And so that's where she is. And there's a lot of kids down there from Davis. And, you know, at McClatchy, we always struggled playing Davis.
Right.
So
right.
I'm sure there's some old rivalries. It's like, hey, I remember you from that match. So it's all good, right?
Yeah.
It's all good.
Oh, yeah, boy, I know in many sports, McClatchy and Davis went round and round for sure.
Yeah, it's been good. And we've enjoyed following the kids around, and it's been a good family activity for all of us because they've all done very well. So we've been very blessed with that.
Boy, I know the feeling. Between going to volleyball games and choir concerts and on and on, just basketball. Just
you pull up
all kinds of fun.
It will more scare me, Bob, when it ends.
Yep.
That's what scares me. It's like when you're involved in it, you're just so busy, and then it ends, and you're like, now what do I do? I'm so into it, you know.
I know we have four in college right now, and
we're
the last one just graduated from high school, and no more volleyball matches, you know, no more senior proms, no more choir performances, you know, it's just We're not really empty nesters yet, but it feels that way. You know, we're so used to going in the evening to all these events. But
oh, I know you've got four in college at one time. And is this why you're doing the Bishop's Hour? Is this your side hustle?
That's kind of exactly. I should just start a GoFundMe. You know.
We'll do. I've got an extra $5. That's okay. All I got left, but right. I'd be happy to give it to you.
Very good. I'll take you up on that.
Please.
One of the many reasons we have you on is this wonderful benefit for the poor coming up on April the 26th that you're going to MC as you always do. And I remember you saying, well, I know your demands on you to do these kinds of events are enormous, and this is the one that you just never say no to.
It's so much fun. And, you know, I've been in Sacramento doing television since 1988. And when you first get to a town, you do a million things. You get out and meet people. It's good for you. And it's like, now that I've been in town so many years, you know, I've done so many events. I think people have formed their opinion one way or the other about me. So, this particular event, I enjoy so much that it's just, there's a good amount of people. They're all, many of them that I know, we're all, you know, I would assume 99% of us are Catholic at this event.
Right.
It's good people. We get to sit at the table with the bishop, which includes you. I've always brought one of my children. It's like, you don't have an opportunity often to have dinner with the bishop, and it's a wonderful night. It really is.
It is, and it's such a great cause. And the St. Vincent de Paul Society does. It seems like they're coming up with a new initiative, a new program every year to serve a different part of the community. They just came up with a few years ago with the Exodus Project to help people who are leaving prison and coming back into society, that they're not left alone, that they have a mentor that can kind of help them with the transition. And
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when people think of what St. Vincent de Paul does, you know, mentoring prisoners who are out, you know, maybe for the first time in a long time, that doesn't necessarily pop up.
No, it doesn't.
And you think about, no, it doesn't. I mean, and so there's so many things that they do. And, you know, I know whenever we have a large amount of things that we're fortunate enough to be going through and to donate, you know, we go right down to St. Vincent de Paul, and we know that, you know, hopefully they'll be able to do something with that. And the dinner usually turns into a little bit of a committee meeting sometimes, so that we're able to hear that. And I try to keep the reins on that a little bit.
Well, I'm bringing you a hook this year. Good, Walt, are you there? I think we lost our connection.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yes.
I think we lost you for a minute. Okay. Very good.
It sounded like Gabe dropped the phone down the sink on me.
that's fairly accurate.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Maybe, I'm here.
Maybe we'll have St. Vincent de Paul donate us a phone.
Yeah, that would be good. This phone's an Android that I'm on, so I'm not sure how much longer it's going to last.
Yeah, very good. Well, talk about the St. Vincent, the event itself, and besides yourself, why is it so much fun? It pulls at your heart too some, but it's really a joyous occasion.
It is. It's the group, Bob. It's priests that have been in parishes that I've been to for years. We were in Sacramento, you know, and we were at in McKinley Park, and then we went to El Grove. So we had Father McKeefrey down there. And then, you know, I run into multiple people I've done interviews with on stories, you know, that involved, you know, the parish and whatnot. And, you know, whether it would be Bishop Cotta, Bishop Soto, Bishop Wiegand, you go down the list, and it's like to be able to be in a nice setting with them. To me, I use the word fun, you know, and to me, fun, you know, it's not like joke telling. It's just an enriching, it's enriching for me to be involved in that. And it's really to be honest, it's really the only event that I do anymore. And I look forward to it. And Dot O'Connor is my point person.
Yep.
And she hits me 2 months early, get in on the calendar, and she's a big part of that. And so the event just runs so well. And there's like 500 people. It's just amazing. And the food is great, and everything about it is great. So I look forward to it.
Now, they promise me every year that I'm going to win the raffle for the Hawaii prize. Do they make you the same promise?
Yeah. No, there's no promises at this particular event. There's no side deals. I'm pretty sure the bishop is not overseeing any backdoor side deals here. Or you and I are going to be going, you and I at the end of the day will be going south and not north. So, if you know what I mean. So, yes, I would love to win the Hawaii thing, but if the MC of the event did that, I think people would be on. Yeah, I'd have to throw it back in and make sure that the next person who won it will take me, but I can't win it.
I remember one time I was emceeing the Bishop Geigo's maternity home dinner in September, and they had these beautiful baskets, you know, it's got all kinds of stuff in it and just beautiful. And they're all raffled. They had five or six baskets. And one of my daughters was about five at the time. And she just, just had stars in her eyes about this one basket. It had a rabbit in it and all kinds of stuff. And well, let's buy 10 tickets. They were like $2 or something. We'll buy 10 tickets and we'll put it in the raffle. And lo and behold, here comes the time to do the raffle, and the president of the St. Vince of the Bishop Gales Maternity Home says, "Let's have Emmy Dunning draw the first ticket."
Oh
yeah, and guess who won? Emmy Dunning.
Oh wow, you know, I've never heard of the person who drawing winning.
Yes.
So you probably shouldn't have told that story, because there's somebody who's about to launch an investigation into that, because you just said that on the radio.
Well, I think we got past the statute of limitations, so.
Then that's fine then. It's okay to cheat as long as it's past the statute of limitations.
Oh, man.
That's awesome. That's a good story. I like that. That was a good one.
I remember that. Talk about dropping the mic. It's like, oh my goodness, how did that happen? But everybody laughed. Everybody laughed. So they knew she was
best
too
day
young
daughter.
To read.
Best, yeah. Best day ever for her. That was great.
Oh it was. Oh, it certainly was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, so the guest speaker, the keynote speaker, besides yourself, we had a great interview with him, Deacon Gene Smith, who's former president of the St. Vincent de Paul Society nationally. And and I'm looking at his picture. He looks like Gary Gerald. He looks like.
Yeah, I saw that.
He looks like G-Man.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I haven't gotten too far into it, but I did see the advanced program and I did read up on that. And, you know, more recently in recent years, we've been getting more Vincentians. And we were doing a lot of, you know, sports people and whatnot. So we're really getting into it a little bit more now. And I think Deacon is going to be great, because who knows more about this night than he, right?
Exactly.
So that's what's going to be fun about that. And my role there is primarily, as you know, is to get people seated and move this thing along. And you and I have done so many events in our lives where, as we're sitting, let's say we're not the MC, we're a guest, we're part of the 200 people. And it's like, if people up top who are speaking go long, and it's like, you don't want to lose the room. My whole thing whenever I MC an event is I don't want to lose the room. I want it to move along quickly.
Right.
People want to have a good time. They want to be home by X amount of time so that then maybe they can catch the end of a Kings game. Yep. And it's like, the last thing I want to do is to look out and see somebody checking their watch,
yep,
or somebody shifting in their seat, or somebody. It's like, no, we can have a good time, even if it's a shorter time than a longer time. And that's sort of what I hope to do. And it's tough to lasso some people in that group, but we try our best.
I remember doing emceeing a high school Hall of Fame. wasn't just sports. It was for all former teachers, mm-hmm, former athletes, mm-hmm, et cetera.
Right.
And one of the honorees was 91, but it had nothing to do with what happened. But he was 91, and he got up there and started telling stories. Thanked his great grandmother. Thanked everybody.
Oh yeah.
And then he started telling stories about people in the audience. Oh, I remember Bill. He was in my math. And finally, one of the organizers came up and said, "You've got to get him. He's got to sit, because there were five honorees. He's the first one.
Yeah.
He says you got to get him sitting down." I'm saying, he's 91. I'm not gonna go and embarrass him. Oh, thank you, Bill. Thank you for your. I didn't think he'd ever stop. And it's awkward.
Yeah.
You don't know quite what to do.
What eventually happened? Did he just, you let him play it out and then went long?
I just let him play it out, and it went about 20 minutes longer than it should have. But, everybody knew what was going on. Nobody was getting too anxious. And fortunately, he was the first one. If he'd been the last one, you might have had a lot of the people checking their watches, but.
Well, you're a nice guy. See, I would have told the guy to sit down.
I would have
come up, and I've done, and you saw me do that like 2 years ago.
Yes, you
where
did.
This guy was going on and on, and I went up and I said, "Your time's up."
Yeah.
And everybody thought that was enjoyable because they appreciated me ending it, and it was a funny bit. And then we went on with it with the show. But
I think actually his wife applauded you for doing it.
She told me to go get him, and I said, "No problem, I got you."
Well,
that's part of the deal.
Not only did we used to have almost strictly sports people as the keynote speakers, but let's be honest, Notre Dame people.
Yeah,
and that was Paul Starkey's doing. I think he. Notre Dame.
It was Paul, Frank Plavin, an organizer for me. Frank was my contact to get going with the event. And Frank had a lot of connections. The best one I ever saw was the Oregon State baseball coach, who is still up there. Yeah. And he was one of the best speakers on any subject I have ever. I went up to him and I said, "I've been doing this for a long time, and you are the best I have ever heard."
Yeah, Casey.
Yeah, he's still up at Oregon State, and that's why they're always a top five team, is because he's such a good man. And but he was phenomenal. But we had a lot of sports figures. We had Rudy from Notre Dame, right? Rudy was there, and Rudy was there. So, I mean, there have been a lot of great speakers, and so no complaints on any of that.
I remember literally getting to sit next to Pat Casey, who was one of my heroes, and it was right after they had won the national championship. And his stories, and he was just a regular guy that you're sitting next to in the bar almost. A regular guy. You'd never thought he was – a national championship coach. And before he was, he was making like $60,000 a year as a head coach of a Division I baseball program. He comes home and they throw him a parade and everything. Next thing you know, he's making about $900K, and Notre Dame tried
well,
to get
he's,
him.
They did. He would have been, I think he looked at that and he was like, "I've got such a good deal at Oregon State. Why would you want to screw that up?" That even the Notre Dame job, you would think that would have been the penultimate for him.
Yes, old Catholic, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why he was with us that night.
That's right.
But of all of them, and they're always, most of them have been either great or good, he was just an amazing speaker, and hopefully Deacon will do that for us in a couple of Fridays from now. We're coming up on this. We're not far away from
the
big night
at all. He was a lot of fun. I actually got him on the radio show here too and played the Oregon State fight song, and I think I heard him crying on the other end.
Way to go, Bob, making your guests cry. That's a hallmark of this program. You should syndicate.
I should.
Be like Oprah.
I remember after the Civil War football game, I noticed the kicker for Oregon State kicked the so-called winning field goal with about 40 seconds to go, about a 50-yarder, and he made the sign of the cross before he kicked the field goal. But Oregon came back and had a field goal to win the game on the final play. And I watched, and they had, you know, the camera was in on the Oregon State kicker, then it on the sideline, and then it's on the. Mm-hmm. So I had the Oregon State kicker on the program, and I said, "So I noticed you made a sign of the cross." And he said, "Yeah." And I say a little prayer before every kick, and et cetera. I said, "So what were you thinking when your counterpart for the Ducks, now he's lining up to kick the winning field goal. What are you thinking?" He says, "I hoped he missed."
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he got two for two on that, right?
He did.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. So you see most athletes now, and you know, like in baseball, many of the baseball players we see are from South America.
Right,
so it is not uncommon at all to see the sign of the cross before a big at bat or something like that. It's funny though. And you mentioned that Father McKeefrey, when I was down at Elk Grove, he once said in one of his sermons, he goes, "You know, God doesn't control everything." And I thought, well, I always thought that he did.
Yeah,
I don't know if that, you know, it's like, okay, sometimes you got to just do what you're going to do and let it roll. And so in this case, God was smiling on our Oregon State kicker and not so much on the Oregon kicker, I guess.
Apparently, you know, it's kind of, it's one of those things where, you know, I had a priest once tell me, you know, after asking me what the score of the game was, tell one of those Irish priests, the Notre Dame game, but, you know, telling me, you know, God may be a sports fan, but he's looking for sportsmanship. He's looking for helping the other guy off the ground. He's looking for that kind of thing.
Sure.
He's not necessarily controlling the final score. And I went, darn.
Okay, see, Father McKeefrey might be right after all. You know, it's a lot of it is, I guess, just being a good steward, and you develop a certain good karma. Yeah. And I think that should be the goal. And then whatever else happens at the end of your day, way down the road, it's not your call. It's, you know, so you just have to build up, you know, be a good steward to your neighbor. And I guess that's probably the ultimate message, right? I mean, that would be mine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and we're talking with Walt Gray from Channel 10, who's going to be the MC of the 18th Annual Benefit for the Poor, Friday, April 26th, 5:30 p.m. at the Doubletree at Arden. You can go to svdp-sacramento.org to get tickets. Well, women's basketball, you've started out in sports, done a ton of sports. Women's basketball, the championship game outdrew any World Series game last year, any NBA Finals game, outdrew the men's championship game. It's mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling in a perfect storm kind of way.
Yeah.
With an underdog Iowa team with a meteoric superstar against an established team from a different part of the country.
Right.
And it drew in 100% of the people who could be interested in something like that were interested in that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like Iowa, Michigan. No, it wasn't like it was South Carolina versus Alabama.
Right.
It was, you know, two different neighborhoods.
Right.
And the you couldn't, honestly, people say this all the time, you couldn't have written that. Well, that's true in this case. And I don't know if we'll see that again. You know, because the next time that possibly happens, it won't be the first time. This was the first time that ever happened, where the women's game outdrew everything else. The men's game was sort of the similar type of thing. You have an upstart Purdue team with a star player of the year, two-time defending, against a juggernaut team that was a heavy favorite. So they had some of the same elements in the men's game that the women's game did. But the women's game, might that the women, Caitlin Clark might do for women's basketball what the U.S. women's national soccer team for girls soccer.
Yep.
Right. And I think that there are some similarities there. And, you know, thank you, Caitlin Clark. I watched all of her games just out of curiosity, and apparently everybody else felt the same way. And so, well done. I only hoped, Bob, that when she walked off the court, that people wouldn't say, yeah, she scored a lot of points but never won the big game. Because you know how talk shows are.
Oh,
it may eventually dissolve into that, and in some cases it did. Like, she never won the big – it's like – she literally carried that team on her back.
Oh.
If you take Caitlin Clark off of that team, they may be a 500 team at best in the middle of the Big Ten.
Not even in the big dance. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It just, we'll see what Iowa does next year without her. And that might be the final chapter in all this to really see what her value was. But again, it was fun. It's all entertainment. It's all fun. And the women's basketball final game got everybody together like the eclipse did the other day.
Right.
And so that was that. It's like you rarely get events that everybody's interested in at one time. And we've had two in the past week. So,
yeah, it's pretty special. When I first heard about her, they talked about her shooting from the logo starting at center court, mm-hmm. kind of stretching. And I'm going, oh, that's an exaggeration. And then I turn it on, and by golly, she's almost on that logo sometimes, and she's making them. It's mind-boggling.
It's amazing how far the women's game has come since I was in high school and college, where once in a while you had a player that would pop up that was like that.
Yep.
But when I was in high school, girls basketball was endless traveling and jump balls. That's all was going on. And the games were maybe 22 to 18 right. finals. And you've just seen it completely change. And so that's been fantastic to see.
When I was in high school, it was still, they called it the GAA, the Girls Athletic Association. And they had six players on the court, three in the back court, three in the front court, and never the twain shall meet. They had to stay there. Only three could come into the forecourt.
I had not heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My gosh. I've not heard that.
Yeah.
Were there lights on in the gym? They have food? How long ago did they have food back then?
They had food. Well, Thomas Edison was one of my classmates. So,
so oh my gosh, that's a great story, Bob.
My sister was on the team, and I was on like the JV boys team. I was in the ninth grade, and she was in was a junior. And I said, "Hey, we'll play you. We'll play you guys." We'll play you a fun exhibition game. And, you know, but we'll let people come to the game and everything and watch us. And she says, okay, but we got to play girls' rules. And as soon as a guy touched the ball, he'd start dribbling up court. Well, you can't dribble more than twice. That's a turnover. So they beat us, you know. and no boy wanted to be on the three that had to be on defense the whole time. They all wanted to be, they all wanted to be on the offensive side. And they killed us.
Yeah, I remember it. I was working in Macon, Georgia at a TV station, and we got a team together at the station to play the Mercer University women's team because I knew the coach. And so we were like, whatever. So we went out there, and I think we got off to like a 5-0, 7-0 lead, and I think we lost by maybe 30.
Wow.
So it was like they had their system down. They were in great shape. They knew exactly what they were doing on defense. They ran their offensive plays, and we got lit up. But we thought, hey, we're guys.
Yeah.
We're just going to smoke these girls. And no, we got lit up pretty bad.
Yeah, well, it was after I was in high school, but I was writing sports, and Davis High School had Denise Curry, who – You want to know who the number one scorer in men or women in UCLA basketball? It's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Lou Alcindor. It's Denise Curry. And she,
I remember the name.
Olympic gold medal.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
She was, I mean, and I watched her play. And like you say, most of these games are 22-20, but when you get somebody like Denise Curry, it's suddenly 82-20. You know, it's lopsided stuff. And she wasn't a Caitlin Clark, but she went to UCLA and won a national championship there and was a leading scorer and gold medal winner. And I thought, wow, what a out of a little town, a much smaller town at that time, and really and great family. Her dad was the boys' coach, Les, and just, you know.
Okay.
But just so much fun to cover sports. And I should tell people, you and I covered some sports together. We just did Sac State and UC Davis football together.
Yeah, you and I from the late 80s through the early 90s, we were doing both Sac State and UC Davis football together on KCRA.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've been bugging you lately to see if I can't work with you again at UC Davis, just doing, you know, a little bit here and there, if you could hook me up over there, you know what I'm saying? So it'd be nice to work with you again.
It sure would.
Good luck.
Good luck, yeah.
Good luck with that. But I think Davis, you've done so well over in Davis, and you've been such a good citizen there, and everybody knows your name. It's like cheers. So I think that's unique for a journalist to still be doing that where he started it. And, you know, how long do you plan on keeping it rolling?
Well, I've only been there 55 years. So they
okay.
My publisher said that when they had a event when I was on my 50th, and they called it the first 50. So,
yeah.
So I'm in the second 50.
Yes, you are early. You're early in the second 50. So you've got a ways to go. Yeah. Early in the second half.
I tell people I started in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. You may have.
if only that were true.
Yeah. Well.
Well, Walt, we will look forward to seeing you on Friday, April 26th, 5:30 p.m. at the Doubletree.
Yep.
Tickets still available. A few. svdp-sacramento.org. You will not regret coming to this event. It will be fabulous, and Walt Gray will be the MC. Walt, thanks so much for all you do, and thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, and thanks to Gabe, your producer, for tracking me down, and I look forward to seeing you and the Bishop and all of our mutual friends at the event. Come up and say hi, please. I'd love to talk to you.
Amen. God bless you and your family, Walt.
Same to you, Robert.
That's Walt Gray, and we're not going to take a break. We had a chance to sit down with Sister Maria Campos the other day to talk about a lot of events coming up in the vocations department. So we're going to bring you that interview now. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bishop's Hour. Appreciate you all being with us on this beautiful day the Lord has made, and we're so glad to have Sister Maria Campos join us. Pull that microphone a little bit closer there. You have the gold microphone today.
Thank you.
Sister Maria is in the Department of Vocations here, the Office of Vocations for the Diocese of Sacramento. Sister, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And
we won't
detail it again this time, but you have such a wonderful vocation story yourself, growing up right here in Sacramento.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and you just have thrived ever since you made that decision.
Yes, it was God's true calling, I think, in my heart.
You're one of the happiest people I've ever met.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So so much happening in vocations.
Yes.
Talk about the challenges you face in vocations.
Challenges. Well, I guess it's finding young men and women who are willing to really surrender their lives totally to God and not to give up the material world, really, and to say, yes, I will serve the Lord to spread his light and his love to the world.
Yeah. How do you do outreach?
Well, there are many ways. We do retreats. We do guest speaking at the parishes, different types of activities throughout the year.
Right.
We try to let them know that these are possibilities of choices in life, right?
Right.
We all have vocation. We're all called to a vocation, especially through our baptism, because we are to serve the Lord. But as we grow, we have to figure out how are we going to serve.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Indeed. You have a number of events coming up and
vocations. We do. We have Dios Vocat, which will be on April 26th through the 28th. And this happens to be a retreat for young girls from the ages 13 to 17.
Give those dates again, April?
April 26th through the 28th. Mm-hmm. And it will be at Trinity Pines in Colfax, and the ages 13 through 17. And you can register on the website, www.scd.org/Dios Vocat. Or you can call our office. Maricela Smith would be more than happy to help you. And her number is 916-733-0258. Or you can email her at msmith@scd.org.
Very good. And and that is two nights, overnight.
Yes, Friday through Sunday.
Beautiful facility up in Colfax.
Yes, Colfax. We have a lot of fun. During this, it's not just praying. It's also camaraderie, having some games, and getting to know others who are also discerning, thinking about where is God calling them.
Very good, very good.
Then we also have a vocations dinner, and that will be on Saturday, June 15th. This is put on by the Knights of Columbus, and you can buy a table or you can host a table. And the contact is George Bagley.
Mm-hmm.
And his number is 707-372-4913. And this year the event will be held in Auburn at St. Teresa's Parish. So it'll be a wonderful event. It's always a wonderful dinner and camaraderie, again, with folks that help support our vocations.
I can speak from experience, having attended many of these, and they are... They're both moving and a lot of fun.
They are fun.
You know, and generally we get to see most of the seminarians and even hear them speak. Sometimes one will give more of a keynote or something, but you'll get to, some of them are very shy and they say, my name's Bob and I'm from somewhere, and that's all they say. And others kind of go on with their life story.
Yes.
And it's just so fun and interesting to see where they've come from and how their journey developed.
Yes.
You know, all different ages and all different backgrounds.
And all different stories. We're all called in different ways.
Exactly. And it's very inspiring. The food's always good. And the food's usually catered by the Buckhorn, I think.
Yes.
And I think another thing that really helps it, they move around every year to a different parish.
Yes. We purposely move around so that different people can come to the event.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Knights of Columbus are always involved.
Yes, they are. They really support us very much.
Yeah.
We also have a Sacramento Classic basketball game coming up for that's priests versus seminarians. And that will be held on Tuesday night, June 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And the doors open at 6 p.m. And the game begins at 7, and that'll be held at Christian Brothers High School. You can buy tickets at the door, or you can do registration online. Again, that's www.scd.org/basketball. So www.scd.org/basketball.
And the tickets get you into the game. There's not reserved seating, though, so it's sort of first come, first serve.
Fine. Find your seat.
It is usually packed.
Yes.
And it's really a lot of fun, but it's a real basketball game. There are referees that they bring in to call the game, and used to be priests against the seminarians, and now they kind of mix the squads.
Yes. And the price is reasonable because it's $15 for adults and $60 for a group of six adults.
Oh, wow. That's a bargain.
And $5 for students. Just K through students, whatever that means.
Probably K through 12, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So, So if you want to be part of this, either get your ticket online or buy it at the door if there's any left, because they go pretty fast.
And it is it's at Christian Brothers. This is their regular gym where they play basketball and volleyball, etc. And they do have concessions that night, you know, the normal hot dogs and nachos and soda and stuff. So
yes.
Candy. So you can have dinner there, too.
Yes. It's really a great event to watch the game.
And Bishop is usually there.
Yes, he is.
And then at the end, you get to see everybody out in the middle of the floor with the bishop. Salve Regina.
Salve Regina.
It just brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it.
Wonderful event. Really is.
Yeah, it really is. Again, that is Tuesday.
Tuesday.
The 18th.
The 18th.
Yeah.
Correct. The doors open at 6.
So. Very good. And the game starts at 7.
Yes.
And probably none of the players will end up playing in Golden One for the Kings. But but they might. You never know.
You never know.
They might send a scout just to see. Yeah, that's right.
We also are going to have the Quo Vadis, and this isn't until August, but we're promoting it now so that you know.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Yeah.
That's what Quo Vadis means. And it'll be held in August 2nd through the 4th. Okay, 2nd through the 4th, once again at Trinity Pines.
And this is for boys.
And this is for boys ages 13 through 17. So if you have any children or if you're listening to this and you're in that age range, please come. It's a lot of fun as well. The guys actually have some night events. Like barbecuing or toasting marshmallows in the fire, and they love to do that. So they have all kinds of games as well and different types of spiritual talks to really help you discern where and when God is calling you to.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Whether it's the priesthood, the diaconate, married life, et cetera. I think a lot of people don't realize maybe growing up about the diaconate and how important that is.
That's also an important role in the church,
yeah.
Yes. So all of the roles really are important.
Exactly.
You know? So it just depends on where your heart is leading you, where God is leading you. So,
right.
Yes. And so if you're interested in Quo Vadis, you can go online once again, register at www.scd.org/Quo Vadis.
Very good.
Okay, or call Maricela once again.
Right. Give that phone number again,
yes,
if you would.
916-733-0258.
Great.
Okay.
Great. And her last name's easier to spell than her first name.
Yes. That is true. And then finally, we also have a rosary that's being put on Zoom to pray for vocations, which is very important. We have this mother called Genevieve Corpus. And she's been very gracious to do this all year. In April, it will be on the 2nd of April and the 16th, and that will be the Glorious Mysteries. And April 30th will be the Luminous Mysteries. And what you need to do is send an email to dmccvocations@gmail.com. dmccvocations@gmail.com. And she will send you the link to join for the rosary. So once again, that's April 2nd through the 16th and April 30th. Those are the two Zoom meetings. And email dmccvocations@gmail.com.
Very good.
So those are all our events, and that's a lot.
That's a lot. And that just gets us till June.
Yes.
Or well, I guess Quo Vadis is in August. Yeah.
The last one.
Yeah. So You probably are at all these events.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Keeps me young.
Keeps you young. Absolutely. Well, yeah. Sister, thanks so much for all you do. And
thank you.
God's blessings to you in this wonderful Easter season.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too. Much appreciated. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow, says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after-school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the Annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The Annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. 4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great